The Holiday Parks Uncover podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only, and any and all views expressed by the hosts or guests, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracies, omission of misleading or defamatory statements, should be taken as such.
We are
Holiday
Parks.
Hello and welcome to Holiday Parks Uncovered, the podcast.
Your destination for all horror stories related to holiday parks.
We are your hosts, Punk.
And Jude.
Today we'd like to welcome to the show Katie. Katie has a bit of a success story. These are rare. Please share your story.
Right, so thanks for having me on the show so I can tell my story. It kind of is a success story, you are right. So hopefully it gives people, you know, a bit of hope in how to resolve issues. So on the 16th, that's 12/2020, I made a £5,000 deposit to secure a new static, which was advertised at a special offer of £80,000. It wasn't new, obviously, but it looked spotless and unused to me at the time. I was informed the previous buyer had actually called out, which, you know, what we're going to come on to, maybe that suggests that the site kept that person's deposit, so double deposits, who knows. The salesperson was someone called Anthony Canning. And on the invoice I got, there were two other names, both as Stuarts. The unit, I was buying it for renting it out. It was to give me some income and I'd use it for occasional out of seasonal use. And the salesman assured me it could be rented out. So I was awaiting confirmation and completion of a house sale, and in writing and emails I've got as proof, they agreed that they would wait and hold the static. So I had numerous chats with the team and I kept them updated on the progress of my house sale, and on the 14th of the 5th 2021 I let them know that everything would be finalized with the house within a week and I'd be ready to pay. And on the 23rd of the 5th, they informed me via a voicemail that their static was no longer available as it had been scrapped due to roof damage, causing it to flood. But I did have another one for £130,000 available at Allathorpe, and would I be interested? And I refused this. I wanted Moulton Grange because I didn't like the Allathorpe area. They said I could have a great deal at Allathorpe by for £100,000 and I could rent it out straight away, making as much as £1,000 a week on rentals. I got all of these quotes by the sales team in email. They also said when a pitch became available at Moulton that I could go there and they would buy back the unit at Allathorpe for the same amount, stipulating it had to be in the same condition, however. So I started to smell a bit of a rat. That seemed a bit too good to be true. It seemed like they were just saying things to get me to buy. So I refused and said I wanted the deal that I had agreed to at £80,000 or my deposit back. So nothing happened. So on the 3rd of the 6th, 21, I requested my fat £5,000 deposit back and I was ignored. So I requested it again on the 22nd of the 6th, 21, ignored. And again, on the 10th of the 8th, 21, I issued them with a 5-day deadline, email or court. And except sure people listening will have guessed correctly, it was court. So I did all the small claims court and thankfully I won. I got my £5,000 back plus interest. The contact who was on all the port forms was the company accountant and he did the whole, it's the first he heard of it, and secretary tried to call me, but I insisted he made contact via email and they actually paid the court in full. So, however, there is more because I did do my research when they told me that the unit had been scrapped. I called the site to try to identify it on the 29th of the 5th, 21, and I was actually informed by sub-residents who were willing to help with the inquiries that it hadn't been scrapped, and these residents are actually being held to ransom. They've been told they had to erect lube plastic decking which the site would provide for about £6,000 on behalf of Bay Cape site. Now, people might know this, but the registered company owner at the time, Matthew Knowles, who people can see what he is like, yet he lived on site at the entrance and he was, according to these residents, intimidating them for several years, trying to get them off site. So how did it impact me financially? I had planned to obviously buy it for £80,000 and that was my limit because I lived nearby and I was going to try and make some income off it. Financially, I'd obviously planned to buy it for £80,000 and rent it out so I met an income. I'd felt like I gambled with the court, but I've kept my receipts in terms of emails and everything in writing. So obviously there was a lot of emotional stress because I worried a lot that I may lose the £5,000, but I stayed true and I kept on, and you know, justice was on my side in this case. In terms of where things stand today, well, I still wanted to buy into the industry and I was very uneducated. I didn't know about your site. I didn't know about Holiday Park Action Group, so I had no idea. So I did buy a Blue Sky Resort, Spring Willows, and I was told that you could rent out on there, which is why I bought it. However, what I found out was that they managed it all. So they held the monopoly on it, and you had to call and book with them at their office between 10 and 3. And bookings just didn't happen. It seemed like they were taking a lot of the bookings for themselves. And the site fees in the end shot up to over £5,600. So even though it isn't related to Martin Grange and it's a different site, I did in the end sort of cut my losses there and I was about £30,000 down in the end. So it's kind of a success story. And then ultimately, you know, I did get stung.
Another holiday park uncovered.
Absolutely. Well, Jude, that's all the time we have. Thank you for listening, listener, and join us on the next episode, won't you?
The Holiday Parks Uncovered podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical, legal, or financial advice.